It indicates that Paul had the occasion by invitation to talk with Felix and his wife concerning his faith in Christ. You know, there are many things a person may talk about, but I don't know anything else more important to talk about than our faith in Christ. And so Paul talked to them about his faith in Christ. And as he talked about his faith in Christ, the scripture indicates that he reasoned with them about three most important things. And these things were righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come. Those are some important things to talk about. And they are worth reasoning about or reasoning upon. To give some clarity to my subject this morning, three things worth reasoning about. Let me just define, I'm sure you know, but let me just define the word reason. This word means to think coherently and logically, to draw conclusions from facts known or assumed, to think out systematically, or to analyze, or to persuade, or bring by reasoning. Some may reason about the right kind of career or job to pursue. They may gather facts on this particular career as to where it will take them in life. They'll analyze it. They'll come to a conclusion as to whether this is what I want to do with my life. They'll reason upon it. That's the definition that I just shared with you. Some may reason even with the right school to attend, the right neighborhood to live in, the right kind of automobile to purchase. And on our reasoning may go. And most in all of these things that we have just talked about within themselves will not affect our eternal destination. But what Paul reasoned with Felix and Drusilla about has eternal consequences. And so I believe you would agree with me this morning that these are three things that are worth reasoning about, because they have eternal consequences. What was it that he reasoned with them about? Righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come. Well, consider those three things for a few moments with me this morning that Paul reasoned with Felix and his wife about. Number one, righteousness. Righteousness is that state of being right with God. Now, it's all right to be right with your fellow man, but if you're not right with God, in the end, that's not going to count. You see, because you can be right with your fellow man as long as y'all agree, as long as we agree on certain things. We can be right. But those certain things that we agree on may be wrong in God's sight, but as long as we agree, we can be right with them. But when it comes to facing God, we need to be right with Him. That's the most important thing in this life, is to be right with God. And we must realize this morning that we cannot be right with Him in and of ourselves. I don't care how good we think we are. don't care how good we think we look. I don't care what status we may have, what job we may be pursuing, what kind of house we may live in, what kind of automobile we may be driving, how much property we may have, how much money we have in the bank. We cannot be right with God in and of ourselves. No wonder Paul reasoned with him concerning his faith in Christ. In order to be right with God, we need Jesus Christ. Because the scripture has declared, according to Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10, that there is none righteous. No, not one. Nobody is righteous. Nobody is right with God with and in themselves. Why? Because verse 23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we know, I'm sure, according to Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, that sin separates us from God. And as long as we are separated from God, we are not right with Him. So we can't be right with God in and of ourselves, because there is none righteous in and of themselves. But thank God, even though sin is a part of us, in spite of that, we can still be right with God when we put our faith and our confidence in Jesus Christ and obey Him and do His will. This very one who reasoned with Drusilla in our text and Felix, this very one, the Apostle Paul, had a struggle going on in his life with sin. Sin challenged him on every side. When I would do good, he says, evil is always present with me. That was a war, a battle going on with the Apostle Paul. But in spite of that battle, Paul realized that Jesus Christ was the answer. So he says in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 24 and 25, he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a wonderful thing this morning to have the Lord on our side. And the Lord will be on our side when we are on His side, when we are doing His will. He'll be on our side. And so Jesus Christ then is our deliverer. He is the one, as I've said, that has paid the price on the cross of Calvary, and He will deliver us. And because of Him, then, when we put our faith and confidence and trust in Him through obedience to His will, then we will be made righteous. But it's, again, it's not because of us. It's because of Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21. Paul had this to say, for he, speaking God, about God, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God. You and I this morning could never enjoy any ounce or any amount of righteousness if it were not for Jesus Christ. So we need to understand that we need Christ. We need Him in our lives, because it is through Him then that we can be made the righteousness of God. Thus then, we need to trust in Christ through obedience to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because it is in the gospel that lies God's power to save. Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's God's power to save. And in that gospel lay the righteousness of God. Verse number 17 says, for in it is revealed the righteousness of God. In other words, everything that's righteous about God, everything that is righteous about us, is revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So again, we need Christ in order to be righteous before God. Therefore then, to enjoy God's righteousness, we must yield our will over to His will. Now that's one thing, we'll say a little bit about more later on, but this is one thing that Felix didn't do. The Bible doesn't indicate that he did it. If he did it sometime later, but in the scripture there, it does not indicate that he yield his will over to the will of God. He heard what God wanted him to do. He even trembled. Let me know he understood what he needed to do. He trembled, but then he says, go thy way. I'll call you again at some convenient season. Now, did Paul come back? Yes, because the last verse that Dara read said that he communed with him the oftener. In other words, time and time again after this, he had a conversation with Paul. But it still doesn't say that he submitted his will to the will of God. So then, if we're going to be righteous then, we must yield our will over to his will. We must have the attitude of Jesus Christ. We remember how Jesus, when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when he was asking the Father to take this cup from him, or pass, let it pass from him. But you notice what he says in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 42. Notice what he says. He says this. He says, not my will. Well, let's read the whole thing. And he said to them all, if any man, that's the wrong one up there, not 9:23, Luke 12, 42. I'm sorry if I said that. Luke 12, 42. Go back to Luke 12, 42. While she's coming back there, the gist of what he says there, he says, not my will, but thine be done. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion? That's still the wrong one. I put the wrong scripture down. That's all right. But the gist of it again says, not my will, but thine be done. That must be our attitude. When we hear the word of God, we must have the attitude, not my will, but thine be done. Because you see, my will is to please me. But that'll never please God. I've got to yield my will over to his will and say like Christ again, not my will, but thine be done. And in order to do that, we've got to do the same thing that the Apostle Paul did, and that is we got to crucify ourselves with Christ. Galatians chapter 2. And verse number 20, Paul said this. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he says, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's yielding our will over to the will of the Master. So we must be crucified then with Christ. And whatever Christ wants me to do, I've got to say again, like Jesus, not my will, but thine be done. You walk up and slap me, my will is to slap you back. But what did Jesus say? If they slap you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. Did he literally mean that? Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. Now, I know it takes something to do that, but still, that's the will of the Master. So then we've got to crucify ourselves with Christ and say, not my will, but thine be done. So then, if we're not willing to be crucified with Christ, then we'll never be made the righteousness of God. Because again, it takes yielding, not only just believing in Christ, but it takes yielding to Christ in order to enjoy the righteousness of God. So Felix then didn't yield to Christ. So he didn't enjoy the righteousness of God. So number one thing that's worth reasoning about is righteousness. Examine righteousness, what it means. Analyze it. Think systematically and logical about it. I've just said that if we don't yield our will to God, we'll never be made the righteousness of God. Now, when we look at it from that standpoint, when we reason upon it, if we want to be made righteous with God in God's sight, then what must I do? Yield my will to his will. That's logical reasoning. And that's the kind of reasoning we need to do on the word of God. So number one, righteousness is worth reasoning about. But then, not only did he reason about righteousness, but he reasoned about temperance. And perhaps that's where the real problem comes in, is temperance. People are not able, most of the time, to yield their will to the master because they are not temperate. They fail to control themselves, restrain themselves. Can it be done? Yes. That's why he reasoned about it, because it can be done. But again, it'll never be done unless we crucify ourselves, unless we call ourselves in check and restrain ourselves to do the will of God. But when I read the Bible says that that's one thing, and when you read the Bible says that that's one of those things that we've got to add to our faith. Now, if the Bible says we need to do that, then I believe I need to do that, don't you? The Bible wouldn't say that we need to do a thing just to be said it. God wouldn't say that. Whatever God says in his word, he wants and expects us to do it. And we'll never please him until we do it. So he says then that we are to add to our faith temperance. Look at what the scripture says in 1st, 2nd Peter rather, chapter 1. Verses 5 and the first part of verse 6. Notice what he says. He says, and beside this, give it all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, what? Knowledge. And then he goes on in the next verse and says, and to knowledge, what?
Temperance.
That's that self-restraint, self-control. We need to add that to our faith. And without adding that to our faith, we'll never make it to heaven. Why do you make such a bold statement like that, Brother Branch? Because all you got to do is keep on reading in that same chapter, the following verses, and when you're, after you finish up talking about the things that we're to add to our faith, and if we do those things, you know, it'll make us unbarren, and you know, and we'll be able to do what God wants us to do. But then he says this, down in verse number 10 and 11. He says, verse number 10, go back to, you have verse number 10? Verse number 10 says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, what things are you talking about, Peter? The things he had just mentioned, adding to our faith. And one of them that we're talking about this morning is what? Temperance. For if you do these things, he says, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's talking about going to heaven. He says, if you do these things, you'll never fail. And as a result of that, you'll be ministered. That entrance will be ministered unto you abundantly into the what? Everlasting kingdom. In other words, you go to heaven. What about if you don't do them? You're going to be left out. I'm going to be left out. So it is mandatory, not an option. It is mandatory that we exercise temperance in our lives. Because again, if we don't exercise temperance in our lives, then we're going to always do our will. Every time you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. Every time I hit you, you're going to hit me back. But when we get to the point where we can exercise some temperance, some self-restraint, some self-control, may hurt, yes. But I realize what the Lord says, that I'm not to, again, retaliate. Somebody says, you're going to let them get away with that? If I want to go to heaven, I better start letting them get away with it. If you want to go, you better start letting them get away with it. Now, we may fall, but we better repent. We better quickly repent and get back right with God. So then, again, temperance is so necessary, and without it, we'll never make it to heaven. And we must, that word diligence there, I mean, we must make every effort. We must work at it. We must make every effort. It will not necessarily be easy, but we've got to put our all into doing what the Master wants us to do. We must make every effort to do this. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 24 beginning. He says this, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is what? Temperate in all things. When one is training for the mastery, of when one is getting ready to get into the games, there are certain things that he's got to, or she have got to abstain from. You know, you can't jump out there and eat any and everything you want to and think you're going to win a race. There are certain things that you got to restrain yourself from. You can't do any and everything with your body if you expect to hold up in the race. Certain things you got to restrain yourself from. But you see, again, the devil wants us to think that we can enjoy all of these things. We can have our cake and eat it too. It doesn't work that way. Certain things we got to restrain ourselves from. If we want to win the prize, we got to be temperate. We got to control ourselves. Again, we got to say like Jesus, not my will, but thine be done. You know, it's like going on a diet. Somebody think that they can get to the certain size they want and still eat everything on the table? It all looks good, but you got to restrain yourself. You got to push back, Brother Porter, and say, yes, that German chocolate cake looks good. That banana pudding looks good. That sweet potato pie looks good. That chicken looked good. That steak looked good. But if it keeps putting the pounds on me, I need to restrain myself. I got to be temperate. Women look good, but I got to restrain myself. Those beverages, they may even taste good. And I'm not talking about Sprite, Coke, but I'm talking about this other stuff. May taste good, but I got to restrain myself. Why? Because the Lord's word teaches against those things. All of these vices and sins that we could name this morning, many of them look good, feel good. But if we know God's word teaches against them, we got to restrain us. That's where temperance comes in. That's where self-control comes in. Why? Because we want to win the prize. We want to go to heaven. We can't have our cake and eat it too. So Paul says, as he goes on, he writes to the church at Corinth. He says in verse number 25 again, and every man that striveth for the mastery is what? Temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a what? Corruptible crown. Y'all know what corruptible means? That it's going to fade away. They do all of that to obtain a corruptible crown. Now if they do that to obtain a corruptible crown, how much more should we restrain ourselves to obtain the eternal crown? So he goes on and says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. For I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. That's again, not my will, but thine be done. I bring it into subjection, he says, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So Paul is saying, I'm going to restrain myself so that I won't be lost. And you need to restrain yourself so that you won't be lost. So I'm saying to us all this morning that reasoning about temperance or self-control is so important. If we want to go to heaven, we've got to restrain ourselves. We can't do any and everything that we want to do, even though these things look good, seem good, and the devil would have us to believe that they're the exact thing for us. But we got to restrain ourselves and control ourselves. And again, I said, that's where the problem comes in. We want to be right with God, but then we don't want to restrain ourselves. We must live this life realizing that we have restraints in this life. We got to say like Jesus says when he said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, when all of these things come our way. We need to keep on seeking those things that are above. Bible says in Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Then he goes on and says, set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. Why is that so important, brothers and sisters? Because everything on this earth, everything in this earth, is going to pass away one day. It's going to be destroyed. And if we have set all our affections on these things and become wrapped up in all these things, what do you think is going to happen to us? Same very thing is going to happen to us. Yes, indeed. We must realize then that we cannot serve two masters. Matthew 6 and verse 24. We got to make up our mind whether we're going to restrain ourselves or whether we're just going to do what we want to do. I encourage us this morning to restrain yourself. I encourage myself to restrain myself. So number one, Paul reasoned about righteousness. That's something worth reasoning about. Never can be right with God in and off yourself. Paul reasoned with Felix and his wife about temperance. We'll never please God unless we again have the attitude, not my will, but thine be done. But then lastly, he says, the judgment to come. Brothers and sisters, there is going to be a judgment. If we believe the Bible tells us that the judgment is going to come. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, the Bible says, and as is appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And one thing about the judgment, every one of us, we're going to be there. Not one of us are going to escape the judgment. Listen to what the picture that the Lord painted in Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 31 and 32. Notice what he says. He's talking about a judgment scene. He says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And verse number 32 says, and before him shall be gathered what? All nations. You know what make up nations? People. All nations are all people. I ask you a question, are you a people? I know that don't sound right. But we are people, aren't we? So we fit under this category. All people, all nations. Everybody is going to be gathered and appear before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the judgment. And then the Bible says, and he shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd does what? Divides his sheep from the goats. He's going to put the sheep, the Bible goes on to say, he's going to put the sheep on the right hand and it goes on the left. Which hand you want to be on? We want to be on the right, don't we? Because the Lord calls his followers sheep in John chapter 10. And he says, the sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger they will not follow. But when folks tell you that it's all right to just imbibe and do all kinds of things that you want to in moderation, that's the voice of a stranger. Don't listen to a stranger. Don't listen to somebody that's trying to lead you down the wrong path. Listen to what Jesus says. So he says then again, that great day is going to come, and all nations are going to be there, and he's going to do some separating. One on one hand, some on the other. And you've just answered back to me, and I'm answering to you, I want to be on that right hand among the sheep. Yes, indeed. Everybody's going to be there. And you know another thing about the judgment? We're all going to be there, but we're not going to be judged as a group. You know, if we were judged as a group, we probably could hide behind somebody. Maybe he'll overlook me and he'll just look at the good that she's done and won't look at the evil and won't think about the evil that I've done. Well, all of that's been already taken care of anyway when we get there. He's not going to just be figuring out have we been good or have we been bad once we get there. It's all on record already. He's just going to pronounce the sinners. So then, every one of us are going to be there. We're going to be judged as individuals. Romans 14 and verse 12, the Bible says, so then every one of us, or each one of us, shall give an account of himself unto God. I'm not going to give an account for you. You're not going to give an account for me. As my grandmother, them back in the old days, used to use the old saying, every tub got to sit on his own bottom. That means individually. Yes, indeed. We all will be there. But we'll be judged as individuals. And that judgment, that pronouncement of judgment, will be final. No revoking of it. It will be final. No appeal. Listen to what the Lord says in Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 46, after he had talked about those that had come into prison and had visited him and had clothed him and had fed him and all those kind of things, and then talked about the ones who didn't do those things. Then he says this in verse number 46. And these shall go away into what? Everlasting punishment. But the righteous into life eternal. That sounds final to me. That sounds final to me. Once it's done. And it won't be undone. So I'm saying to us this morning, don't reject the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Like Felix rejected the reasoning that Paul did with him. He says, go thy way. I know you're telling me the truth. So much so I'm trembling, but go thy way. A lot of folks lack that today. They know God's word is true, but they just ain't quite ready to submit themselves to it. I want to say to us, brothers and sisters, we don't know when this time, when this life is going to end. Therefore, we need to make sure that we're ready whenever it ends so that we can hear him say, well done. Christ is going to be the judge there. I'm closing now. Christ is going to be the judge. The one who died for us. The one who is our advocate. But in that day, the office of the advocate will be out of business. Let me say that again. Let me say it another way. Christ would have stopped advocating for us once the judgment gets here. He'll no longer be our intercessor. He'll no longer be our go-between. He'll be sitting there then to judge us. And he's going to judge us according to righteousness. That's why everybody, Paul said to those on Mars Hill, that God has commanded everyone, everywhere, to repent, Acts 17 and verse number 30. For he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained and has given assurance that he has raised him from the dead. Who is that? Jesus Christ. Christ will be our judge in that last day. So if we realize then that I can't be righteous within myself, I need Christ to make me righteous, then I submit my will to Christ. And I live a life of continuously saying, not my will, but thine be done. So when I render my life to Christ, and I live this restrained life, this life of self-control, having the willingness to say no when I know God's word teaches against it, and live by that restraint, then when I stand before him in the judgment, I'll have no reason to tremble. Felix, when he heard all of that, he trembled. We don't have to tremble, brothers and sisters. Just obey the Lord. And we can face him with a smile on our face and hear him say, face him with confidence, and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. Come up higher and I will make thee ruler over many. Enter now into the joy of our Lord. Well done. That's what I want to hear him say, don't you? But again, I say my statement. He'll never say well done until we do well, until we obey him, until we give our lives to him and live our lives by practicing self-control. And then we'll be ready for the judgment. If you're here then this morning, and this lesson perhaps may be for you, in a special way, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, not a member of the body of Christ, where he places all the saved, because one day he's coming back for that body. That body is the church. He gave his blood for the church, and he's coming back to get it. If I were you, I want to be in it and living a life of self-control. He has only one. We encourage you to come. You need to hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. Repent of your past sins, Luke 13:3. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 10:9-10. Be baptized in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church, Acts 2:47. Then live a life of faithfulness unto death, Revelation 2:10. Jesus says, I'll give you a crown of life. Do you need to come this morning? Why not come? If you're already a member of body of Christ, but you realize that you're not really living this life of self-control. And brothers and sisters, that's what it's all about, is living a life of self-control, giving our will over to the Lord's will. Stop doing our own thing and do what the Lord wants us to do, because only then will we be assured of a home in heaven. So to be in the church is not enough. We got to live a faithful life. You need to come this morning by confessing of an erring way that you've repented. We beg you to come. Or maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is this morning, while we stand right now, while we sing, would you come? Would you come to the Lord? You can come right now. Come to the Master. Come to the Master.
What will you do with Jesus?
What will you